Well, thank you. It's good to be here this morning. And I just feel honored in a lot of ways because, number one, Pastor Crowell told me that this is the first time anybody's spoken on the new stage. So I just feel honored about that. And me and Pastor Crowell have had some really good times already. He's already tried to convert me to be a Buckeye, as you can see. He gave me one already. So I really think this week is for him. We're going to try to convert him, and that's going to be my job this week. So, but been having some really good times so far. Really, this is my first, on Wednesday was my first time to be here at the church, and man, what a beautiful place you guys have, and what a great staff that y'all have. Man, I got to work with Pastor Shane, and I'm scared of him a little bit, so... We have a mutual agreement, so he's my bouncer this week. He's going to take care of any problems that we have, but man, doing a super good job. We had fun with the youth group, and Lord willing, Thursday, we're going to be praying at the skating rink, right, Pastor Shane? That's where we'll be praying at, so with the youth group's going to go skating on Thursday. So that's a lot of fun. But I did. I grew up close by, not too far, just down in Snyder County. Just to give you a little background about me, some of you guys remember when Kramer had a Christian school. Yeah, and that's actually where I went to Christian school. But I grew up with three other brothers, and we were bad dudes. So we went there until we got kicked out. And then Mom homeschooled us, okay? So then Mom took us home and homeschooled us. And she did a great job. She had a degree in teaching, so that worked out really well. I don't know that she was real pleased that she had to use that, but overall, she did a great job with us. So did that, and my whole high school career, I would try to get my schoolwork done as quickly as possible because my dad helped with the family business. And if any of you have ever maybe heard of R.J. Huffman and Sons down in Mount Pleasant Mills, that was the sawmill that my grandpa started. And then that's what I was raised doing sawmill work and raising cattle and showing cattle out at the Beaver Springs Fairgrounds. So it's just a little bit about me. And then when my oldest brother Caleb turned 18 years old, we were sitting around the dinner table. We always had dinner together. My parents loved the Lord. And my dad sat us down and said, hey, when you guys graduate from high school, you're going to go to 1 year of Bible college. And we erupted because we didn't want to go to college. We thought we would just stay at the family farm doing the family work at the sawmill. But Dad told us, he said, I never had the opportunity, so I want you guys to have the opportunity for 1 year of Bible college. So we went to Wisconsin for 1 year. And that's what I thought I was going to do. But then I ended up going for my 4-year degree and I squeezed 4 into 6, if you know what I'm saying. Yeah, that's how my school career went in college. But we had a good time. And that's actually where then I met my wife, Shannon, was actually at Bible college. And so she's been a blessing to me the whole time. And we have a great relationship. She kind of hackles me and she helps me when I'm at a church preaching. And she wasn't able to go a couple weeks ago. I went to a friend's church and she wasn't able to go. So she said, let me get your coffee. I said, man, that'd be great. Thank you. On my way out the door, she gives me my coffee, gives me a kiss. And so I go to take the first swig as I'm heading down the road. She put a drop of soap in my coffee. And so so she's always, we have a great relationship. We've been married a year and a half, year 7 months coming up on, and God's just really used that in my life in great ways. And so really, I really appreciate Shannon. And I'll tell you what, she really, what drew me to her was in college, my parents were godly people and they loved me very much. But you know, I never had a consistent time with God every day. And there was this girl that when I'd go to the dining hall in the morning to get my breakfast, there would be a girl in the back and she'd be reading her Bible. And man, I just thought, man, I want to do that. I want to walk with the Lord like that and just have a consistent time with him every day. And so what I started to do is I'd start to sit, you know, a table away from her. I didn't really know who she was at the time. Then I realized it was Shannon. And I was like, oh, this is great. So then what I started to do is beat her to the dining hall and steal her chair. And that really made her happy with me. And so we got to know her. But really, that's really what drew me to my wife, was that she loved the Lord. And I really believe, even to this day, she challenges me to love him more. That's what I hope that this week is. You know, some of you will just be able to be here this morning. So thanks for being here. And I'll tell you what, each person here today represents a story. And you know, I kind of came to a new appreciation of that just recently. My grandma died a month ago. And the first week after that, my pap, he loved his church, but it was just too much for him to go back to his church. So he ended up going to a church he'd never been before just to visit, just to meet with the Lord and not have to like deal with those emotions again. So if that is you this morning, I know where you're at, and we're glad you're here, and we're excited about what the Lord wants to do, you know. I believe there's two main things that God right away tells us in his word. Two things. And if you miss these two, you've missed the gospel and who God wants us to be. And that is this. God's word's very clear. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. And you know what? From you guys being here, I would say that the majority of you would say, yes, I want to love the Lord with all my heart. But I believe part of what revival is all about, and Pastor Crow is such a neat guy. I'll tell you what, many people have talked to me over the years about revival, but I believe he's a man that believes in it because you guys do it. And I think you see the fruit of really focusing in on God's word and for a lengthened period of time. But here's where I was going with that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. God wants us to do that, and I believe we want to do that. But you know what? It's so easy to start fading away. It's kind of like when you're on a diet, right? And you're at first you're pumped and you're excited and you're like, I'm going to lose all this weight and I'm going to lose it in, you know, the program's going to do 4 months. I'm going to lose it in 2 weeks because I'm so excited about it. But you know what? For me, as soon as I see that first little Oreo cookie sitting somewhere, I'm in trouble, you know? I'm like, you know what? You know, I'm going to do this diet, but you know, I'm just going to try a little bit of that. And then boy, my wife, she'll be making cookies maybe around Christmas time, and I'll be like, oh my goodness, I you know, I've got to try one and for our relationship's sake, right? You know, it's for us. It's so that our marriage is good. But it's so easy then to fade away. And by the time I thought my 2 weeks was up, I'm completely off and I'm not even doing it anymore. And I believe with loving the Lord, it sometimes fades for that with us. And, you know, we don't even realize it. And I think that's why this time in the Word this morning is going to be so good for us together. And I want to tell you right now, I don't want to come across like I know this stuff or I've conquered it, because I haven't. The reason I'm going to be preaching where I'm at today is because this is what God's dealing with me right now. And so I just wanted to say that. If you don't mind, turn to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, we're just going to look at a group of people that started out on fire for the Lord and started out going strong and in his business and doing some incredible things for the Lord. And then something happened. And that's what we're going to look at today. So let's go ahead, look down at Revelation chapter 2, and we're going to go ahead and read Revelation 2, verses 1 through 7. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands, I know your works, your toil and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. Verse 3, I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the work you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for this morning, and without you, none of us would be sitting here in this place. Father, you're the only one who knows the story some maybe founding members here at this church today that through the faithful years, how faithful you've been, even through hard times. And some maybe today's their first day back in here. And some maybe are coming back for the first time after a long time. Lord, no matter where we're at, dear Lord, thank you for bringing me here. And I pray that you would just bless your word this morning. Help my lips to be clear. Help my thoughts to be clear as we look to your word and we see what you want us to do today. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, here in Ephesians chapter 6, we were with the teens in Ephesians chapter 6 on Wednesday night. In Revelation chapter 2, we come to a part of scripture where the writer was John, the disciple John. And he was exiled out of the land. And what happened was, as he was exiled for preaching the gospel, he was actually exiled from this church, from this place, from Ephesus. And what the Lord did was he came to John in a vision. And this is what he's showing him. And that's what we see in those first couple verses. What does it say? It says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. What he's saying right away is, you know what, John is writing this, but this is not a word from John. This is a word from God, the one who sits on the throne. And how we know that is, what does it say? It says this, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. And who are the seven? The seven are these seven churches that God wanted to address right away, who he'd been watching. Because Paul, as you read through Acts, planted these churches. And these churches had come through some great persecution, some really hard, difficult times. But now they're thriving. This church in Ephesus right here, when John writes to this church, it had been 40 years since Paul started the church. Can you believe that? 40 years. And the church was still going strong. But you know what the Lord says right there in that verse? That he holds them in his hand and he goes through the lampstands beholding what they're doing. And you know what? He's here today and he knows what we did last night. You know what? He knows what this church has been through over the past 5 years, 10 years, 30 years, 40 years, where we're at with Ephesus. And so, right away, we know that this isn't just John giving us an opinion. This is a word from God himself to this church. And what does he say? He says this, I know your works, verse 2. I know your works. I'll tell you what, for me today, that is something that either really scares me or really excites me, depending on where I'm at. It's kind of like when my mom would, when I was 2 years old, I thought if I got to a certain place in the house that nobody could see me, and that was behind the couch. And so anytime I love cookies. Anybody that you talk to knows that I love cookies. And I did ever since I was little. And so my mom would usually make cookies and you weren't allowed to have them till she said. So when she wasn't looking, I'd grab one and I would run and boom, I'd be behind the couch. And I thought nobody could see me. But my mom always knew where I was. If she couldn't find me, she knew that I was behind the couch doing something that I probably shouldn't be. And you know what? Whenever she would say my name, it would scare me. Because all of a sudden, it would come from above me because I'd be behind the couch and all of a sudden I'd hear Seth. And I'd be, bah! Because I knew I was doing something that I wasn't supposed to be doing. But you know what? As I grew up, when my mom would say my name, especially when I would be obeying her, it was a blessing to hear that. And so, the question is for you today, the Lord is watching. He knows your works. Where does that put you? How do you feel about that right now? I would say for teenagers, this is probably a great thing to start thinking about because you know what? We're always trying to do little stuff, aren't we? We're kind of always maneuvering, trying to do something new or do something different. Or I know when I would go out with friends on Saturday nights, I wouldn't necessarily tell my dad and mom everybody that was going to be there. I would tell them the ones that I knew they wanted to hear were going to be there, but maybe not everybody. But what does he say? I know your works. Listen to what he says, though, right off the bat, your toil, your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. Wow. So God, right off the bat, says to the church of Ephesus, wow, you are doing some incredible things. Man, you're patient. You've been patient. I know your works, your toil, your patient endurance. For 40 years, the church of Ephesus had been going along, and you know what? Had been doing some great things for the Lord. I'll tell you what, if you know the city of Ephesus at that time, it was an incredible city. It was one of the biggest cities at that time because all the trade routes ran right through Ephesus. Maybe a little bit like Mifflinburg, I don't know. But all the trade routes ran through it. And so it was a conglomeration. It was called in the Greek, the light of Asia is what this church or what this city was called. And so a lot of people were coming through. A lot of things were happening in this place. But you know what? This was not a godly place. No. The religion of the day was to worship a princess called Diana, which was a god or a goddess that they didn't really know if it was male or female, but it was all based around sexual immorality. And that was how they worshiped, was you'd go up to the temple and they had thousands of priests and thousands of priestesses and they would do sexual things to be able to worship this god. And that was the okay thing of the day. And they had all these different pictures of her and all these different statues stood up to worship this god or goddess. And when Paul comes in, and you can read this in Acts chapter 18 and 19, what happens was, you know what? People came to Christ. He started preaching. People came to Christ. At one point, out in the streets, they had brought over $50,000 worth of books and burned them because they were turning from their old ways and turning to Christ. And said, no, we will not follow Diana anymore. We're not going to follow that way. We're following the Lord. So they burned their stuff. The idol makers were so upset that they came in and they were throwing out Christians and the leaders that were preaching the gospel. And so that's what happened here. That's what was going on. That's this city. And these people endured this patiently. This persecution came upon them. And they started losing their leaders. And they had some great ones. And we'll get there in a second. But I know your works, your patience and joy. Look down in the middle of verse 2. And how you cannot bear those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I mean, these people didn't just know Jesus. You know what? They knew the scripture well enough to know how to test if somebody else actually knew him and wanted to be like Jesus. Tell me, how could you do that today? If somebody came in to the church and wanted to be, would you be prepared biblically to test them and watch them and ask them the right questions according to scripture? Because that's what these people could do. And they did it consistently for over 40 years. But have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. Verse 3, I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. Boy, tell me this. How long would it take you guys as a church and as a group, maybe teens, if every time that a new teen came to Christ in Mifflinburg, you'd lose your youth pastor? So he'd be gone. So you might be without one for a little while. And then another one would come in, and as soon as somebody else came to Christ, boom, next guy's gone. As the church, if that's what happened here, that kind of persecution, that any time somebody new came in and accepted what you guys believed, pastor's gone. And you might be without one for a while. But these people endured that. And they were faithful, and they were okay, and they kept moving forward, and they kept learning and growing and building their church. And they did it not for their own namesake, but whose namesake? For my name's sake. And you haven't grown weary. They didn't grow weary. They kept going, kept plowing, kept going. Verse 4, but I have this against you. So all this great stuff, this sounds like an incredible church. This sounds like a church that you'd want to be a part of, that you could go and get encouraged and say, no, you know, hey, we're being persecuted, but let's keep going. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. But then he gets to why he wrote this church this time. From the hand of John, what does he say? But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. And here it was. Here was the purpose. He appreciated their patience. He appreciated that they were doing all these things for his namesake. But then, what does he say? But you've left and abandoned the first love that you had for me. Whoa. And what does he say? Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works that you did at first. So how can you lose your first love? How can you do that? Well, you know, I think right away you can go to the marriage example. So you just got married. We just had a wedding here yesterday, right? And I accidentally thought it was the guy who was singing in the choir. I'm sorry about that. But his girl's getting married next month, right? Yeah, I think I got that right, hopefully. 2 weeks. There we go. 3 weeks. So you get married. And life is good. And you're on the honeymoon, right? Everything's going well, going real good. You know what? And you, maybe you've even made it for 40 years. And you're married, and you're doing well. You had kids. Think about how devastating it would be for your husband to look at you, or your wife to look at you and say, honey, you know, I don't love you anymore. Now, I'm not going to stop living here. I'm not going to stop providing for you. I'm not going to stop raising the kids. I'm not going to stop doing any of that stuff. I'll be here. And you know what? We'll die together. But I just don't love you anymore. Can you feel it? Can you feel what had happened to the church? They were going. They were doing right. They were moving forward. But you know what it had turned into? It had turned into a mechanic. Okay, new guys in the church. Okay, we got to test him. Here we go. Test him. Okay, all right. Is he okay? Okay, I think he's okay. Okay, bring him in. All right. We got to keep track of him. Let's keep plowing. Make sure he's not visiting the priest at Diana. Let's make sure that he's doing the right stuff. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. But you know what? God says, you know what, I see you, and I see your hearts, but you know what, you've stopped loving me. You're still going to church, you're still doing all the right stuff, you're still putting money in the offering plate, but you know, you don't really love me anymore. So, I think we need to ask ourselves, you know what, Seth? I see it. I felt that. If my husband or wife told me that, that would be so devastating. So how do I know if that's me? How do I know if I've left my first love? Well, I think right away you can take the picture of a baby, right? So you got this newborn baby. Does anybody have a newborn baby? Anybody in here? No? Okay, they're probably maybe in the nursery. But so you got a newborn baby. What are they passionate about? What are they passionate about? They're passionate about food, right? And they're passionate about being warm and being clean, right? And if any of those things are not that way, what happens? You hear it, right? You know something is majorly wrong with this baby. And so what do? You check all those things, right? And you make sure that that's done. And when that's done, baby calms down. Back to normal. You know what? I think one thing that you can do right away to ask yourself, have I left my love for Christ? Is Where's your passion? Where's your passion? What do people, if people know you, what do they say? Oh, Tyler. Okay, Tyler, what do I know about Tyler? You know what? He loves cars, loves vehicles. Boom, man. He loves working on machinery, loves wrenching, loves that. You know, if they say your name, what would be the first thing that they'd be, oh, you know what? Sarah, she loves the kitchen. She loves to cook. You know what? Maybe for us as teens, right? We're like, you know, oh man, I love soccer. I might not be good at soccer, but I love it. And hopefully one day I'm going to the Olympics, right? Yeah, everybody wants to go to the Olympics. Or go play for Ohio State or Penn State. Penn State preferably. So yeah, but what are you passionate about? Another thing that leads to your passion is your time. What do you spend your time doing? You know, do you never miss the game on Sunday? Man, as soon as that game's on, football, I'm there. Boy, NASCAR season. Woo! All right. Man, I get to sit around TV for hours, and there they go. Man, super excited. And I'm not making fun. I know people that love that, and it's great. And nothing wrong with that. But tell me this. Are you passionate about that, and you're not passionate about God? If people would say something about you other than he loves the Lord or she loves the Lord, tell me, what are we talking about? How are we doing? And I'm telling you right now, this is hitting me right here. Because I'll tell you what, probably the most scared that I get is when I'm at a restaurant and I have to pray for my food. You know what? That is just a time that it just kind of makes me nervous. Because I don't know what the waitress thinks. And, you know, a lot of times you're trying to fit it in between, right? Like, oh, we just ordered. Let's pray. That before she gets back, right? You know, so I'm like, okay, pray quick. Okay, all right. Oh, she didn't come back. Good. You know what? And for me, that was something that I still struggle with. But you know what? I just was with a guy down in Virginia. And you know what he did? Man, it was time to pray. And the waitress came back. And me, in my heart, I'm going, oh, man, we're going to have to wait to pray. But you know what he did? He said, you know what, ma'am, we are going to pray. Is there something that we could pray for you about? Completely changed my view on this. You know what I realized? That pastor was more passionate about that lady's soul, even though we had no clue where she was in the spectrum of life. But he had more concern for that lady's soul than I did. And he wanted her to know the same God that had changed his life. And he was passionate about that. So he figured out a way that even though he didn't know this lady, he was going to try to dive into her life in some way. You know what? And that radically has changed me. And I, you know what? The truth is, I'm not super good at it yet. But I'm trying. Man, like God just like struck me and was like, Seth, do you see that? You don't care. You don't love me enough to actually tell others about me. And man, God just started working on me, and that's been so good for me just in the past couple weeks. Boy, that was so, so good. So where's your passion? Where's your passion? Here's one more before we close. What rules do you follow, or whose rules do you follow? You know what, I just talked to a pastor. We also have a golf tournament. The camp just started a golf tournament a couple years ago. And a pastor came, Pastor Joe's his name, and he played with a team. We play in a foursome, so there's four guys playing. So we played in a foursome, and he was playing with a guy that had nothing to do with God, didn't go to church. And so Pastor Joe tried to strike up a conversation with him, and the guy was like, nope, don't even talk to me about church or that stuff, because you know what, there's too many rules. So Joe said, okay, all right, that's fine. We'll finish the tournament. So Joe, it's best ball, so they're hitting to this one hole, and Joe gets all the way down to the green and he makes a putt, and it goes it was right there. But it didn't go in. It just stopped right on the edge. So Joe went up, hit it, and said, okay, you know, this is just fun. So that was four. And that same guy that said, rules was why he didn't want to hear about church, said, no, you don't. That was five. And Joe was like, why does it matter? And the guy said, it's the rule. And what Joe learned that day, and he shared it with me, was, you know what? That guy loved golf. So he was okay with the rules of golf. That's what shows you where your love is at, is if you're okay with the rules. And we see this in sports teams all the time. Because you know what? Soccer players, my wife was a very good soccer player, by the way. She made All-American in college. Very, very good. And you know what? But I think the rules are silly. You know? Like, man, you know, they bump each other and it's like they flop, you know, and boop, the whistle blows. And I'm like, come on. I want to see some football. I want to see some hits. Let's go, you know? And I'm like, those rules are silly. But you know what? She loves soccer. And so she's good with that. And she learned how to play well around those roles because she loves that game. And you know what? As we follow the Lord and as we follow Christ, we can gauge our love for him by if we're okay with following his roles and his guidelines. And you know what? One of the greatest things that I learned when I was 18 years old is, you know what? That his roles were not to hold me back from getting what was good for me, it was to keep me from destroying myself. That's what I realized about God's rules. It's his laws that he loves us by, so we don't destroy ourselves. So what rules do you follow? What is your passion? What is your passion? Is your passion more about coming to church and making sure that you're the one up front singing, or you're the one, or that people say your name? Is that your passion? Or is your passion that, you know what, people come and hear a word from the Lord, and you're just trying to make it so that there's nothing distracting from that? Because I'll tell you what, your worship team did a super job, and you know what, it didn't distract from the gospel. I think it prepared people's hearts for what was about to be said. And that's wonderful. But what's your passion? Why do you do what you do? Do you do it because you love the Lord? Or do you do it for ulterior motives? Because that's what God is saying happened to the church in Ephesus. So right now you might be saying, Seth, I see what you're saying. You know what? I realize that maybe I've strayed from the Lord in some way. My love for him has waned. I think there's a couple other things that you can think about. What are you passionate about your family? There's a lot of good things that maybe you're passionate about. But if you're more passionate about that than making God first in your life, that's where we get off track. If your family's first before God, you're off track. If your spouse is first before God, you're off track. You know what? My spouse, Shannon, is the greatest thing that God's ever given to me. But you know what? She's not Jesus. And you know what I need? And I appreciate this about her. You know what? Sometimes she'll just say, Seth, what's wrong? And so I'll go on my spiel about what's wrong. And she'll just go, you know what? I'll pray for you, but I can't help you. And that's the truth. I need Jesus. And she points me to him. And I appreciate that about her. So, if you're off track, if your love for God has waned, because those are the two things, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. That's what this is all about. That's what coming to church is all about, learning how to love him more. What does he say we do? Look at verse 5. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Do you remember the first day that you accepted Christ? Do you remember that day when you came and your eyes were open to the truth that God sent his son Jesus Christ, and you know what? You needed it because your sins had put you in a place where you were bound for hell to be separated from God and all of his followers. And do you remember how you felt when you said, Jesus, I accept your sacrifice, and without you, I would be nowhere. And the burden that got lifted from your shoulders and the excitement that was in you about knowing God, about telling other people about Him. I'll tell you what, I remember that. I remember the day after I accepted Christ when I was 12 years old. I remember this. I remember I was going to read through the whole Bible. And I was pumped about it. And every day I got up, that was the first thing I did. Flipped open my Bible. I'm starting in Genesis and I was rolling. You know what? You know how long that took me to break that? It was about a week. You know what? And you know what? It's just this year that, you know what? I am on track to read through the Bible in a year. You know what? I realized that, you know what? This had happened to me. Man, I had left my first love. I had. And you know what? God was dealing with my heart. So remember from where you first came. Remember that. Picture that in your mind. When you accepted Christ, who you told about the gospel, how excited you were about telling other people about Him, where you've fallen. And then, so remember that, and then what does it say? Repent. Repent. What does 1 John 1:9 say? It says this: if you confess your sins, He's faithful, He's just, He'll forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You know what? God wants to be right with you just like you want to be right with Him. You know what? And if your love for God has waned and it isn't what it was, you know what? You've sinned against the Lord. You've sinned against God. And you know what? He wants you to be right with Him. So remember, repent, and then what does it say? And do those works you did at first. Repeat. Remember, repent, and go back and repeat the way you were at first. You can almost picture it as when you first got married. Think about it, married people. When you first got married, what'd you do? Oh, it was coffee shops in the morning. It was little love notes on the sink. Maybe even lipstick on the mirror. I don't know what all you did. But you know, even in a year and a half, me and Shannon, I've seen it in myself. You know what? It's like, oh, it's not a big deal. You know, oh, she knows I love her. You know, we got to get rolling. We got more to do today. You know, and those things have dropped off. How much time do you spend with God anymore? You spend a minute, 2 minutes, 10 minutes? Reading His Word. How much time do you spend praying to Him? Thanking Him? Requesting? And really just admiring Him for who He is. Remember, repent, repeat. And what does He say? Do the works you did at first. Look down at the end of verse 5. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Yet, this you have, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans. He goes back and he says, hey, here's another good thing about you, which I also hate. Verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear that what the Spirit says to the churches, to the one who conquers, I will grant to eat the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. You know what? If you go to Ephesus today, you know what? The church isn't there anymore. You know, the truth about God's word is this: He's right. And you know what? God's word says, let God be true and every man a liar. You know what? If we disobey God, the same thing will happen to us. If we allow ourselves to continue to slip away from our first love that we had with Him and not reconnect, not reposition, and go back and remember and repent and repeat, you know what? He'll do the same with us. That's what you got to realize is that, you know what? How far away are you from the Lord right now? Remember, repent, and repeat. Remember what it was like. Repent for not being there anymore. And God wants to restore you and forgive you. That's what He wants to do. I'm so thankful that He does that. And He's a God of second chances. And you know what? If we do these things, He will revive your family. He's going to revive your life. He's going to revive your church.